I confess that a combination of audience like this morning is a little different mix than what we usually have in our chapel setting. Don't take offense, old timers back there, but we don't usually get your bunch in here very often. And so it's a real blessing to have them, and I think I can say that, and they'll not be offended at that reference. I'm increasingly closer to their vintage, and so I do appreciate the testimony of their presence on campus, and it's a real joy to have that combination. Of course, we just recently had the Grandparents' Day as well on our campus, and that was a real joy to have those folk as a part of our chapel family during that hour as well. You know, when you're around older people, and again, I say I get closer to this testimonial, so at the present time, it's reflecting what I hear, not what I do, hopefully. But, you know, older people have this frequent word in their vocabulary, and it's this: remember. It might be this: I can't remember as much as I used to. And so their minds, you know, aren't quite as much in tune with remembering. And I like to assure you that it's because you've packed so much up, there's not much more storage room. That's why you don't remember. And so that's why that's the problem. Or often conversations of folk who've lived a long time resort to things they remember from the past. And so often the conversations, remember when, or remember this, or get together with family gatherings and older folk are around, and I must confess one of the joys of life is for me to sit and listen to the, you know, the reflections and the reminiscence of those who've lived years beyond me. I often say, particularly for those that have preceded me in ministry in years, as I hear them talk about circumstances in their lives and ministry, I often say, guys like me need, you know, people like you in front of me to let me know it's worth the journey. And so it's wonderful to have those kinds of persons that are reflected upon. But this whole idea of remember is an area that I want to focus on for a bit today, because, you know, it's one of those words in our English vocabulary that has different nuances of implication when you use it, and the Bible does the same thing. In fact, in a moment, we're going to look at a passage where that word in our English translation is used three times, but it's three different words in the original text of Scripture. And so this idea of remember is such that it's certainly something that reflects, you know, an idea of a previous occasion or previous event. And so we'll say, you remember when we did this last year? And you're calling to, you know, reminder the fact that you have a memory of something of a previous event or occasion. It's also used as a bit of an exhortation. And so a person might be headed to town and they say, remember to stop at Walmart when you go to town. And so it's sort of a reminder of a, you know, a need that you should forget when you get to that next location or that next time of life. And so remember is a means of a sense of encouraging you to do something. Not that you've done, but they don't want you to forget. So we say, remember, don't forget to stop at Walmart. Or sometimes, and I know for you that are students, this is probably more, you know, likely to be a identity that you have with this word. If you had good parenting, and please don't take it personally if your parents never said this. I'm not suggesting you didn't have good parenting. But I think good parenting will often have something like this. You might be headed out for an activity as a teenager. And as you go out the door, your mama says, your daddy says, remember who you are. Or remember whose you are. Remember, you know, you are, you know. And it's a matter of trying to bring some measure of reminder of your identity as you're out. And so it becomes a bit of a conviction word as well. All of those with the little simple word remember in our vocabulary. I want to look at some of those nuances with you, because I think this combination of senior saints and campus family gives us a combined opportunity to remember. It's a biblical term used often in the Scriptures. The passage I'm going to bring to your attention is from a senior saint. In fact, I'd like to give you three reminders from a senior saint about how to be a servant of the Lord. And that's where we're going. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is a book that was penned by a senior saint, Paul, at a stage in his life when he's about to face death, and he proceeds to write some thoughts of reminder to his son in the faith, Timothy, who at this point wasn't a teenager, he wasn't a college-age guy, was probably in his 40s, maybe even 50s, don't know for sure his age. But he also is a great illustration, because this passage reminds us of areas of his life that might fit very suitably to your life. In today's world of complication and societal deterioration, may I tell you that we have lots of dysfunctional family members who find themselves with the dilemma that they don't have a wholesome home, they haven't had a godly heritage, and Timothy was one of those guys. He grew up in a dysfunctional family. We don't know for sure that his father was ever saved. It was certainly a family that had the cross-racial identity between Gentile and Jew and all of the baggage that went with that. And so don't ever let it be said that you've got this problem that ought to be, you know, an excuse for whatever you want to be. No. By God's grace, you can go on for God no matter what your roots are. And in the grace of God, you can. But in this passage, we find these thoughts about remembering given to us in the pen of Paul's writing in chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7, not in an exhaustive way, selectively around these three words, remember. But would you follow as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And then we want to look at these three reminders from a senior saint to help us be servants of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. There's some reference to this senior saint identity in his own life. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance. There's the first of these words. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to, number two, remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, number three, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul goes on in this chapter to develop some of these thoughts, but I want to just focus our attention on these verses selectively as we think of these three reminders that this senior saint gives to us. The first reminder is this: remember to pray. Remember to pray. Now, this first occasion in verse 3 is a testimony that in some translations might be given as the word mention. I make mention of you. This actual word for remembrance in this passage is always used in conjunction with prayer in the Bible. It's a word that does identify, as we pray, how we ought to go about, and here's the word I want you to remember, recalling what we should pray about. I have no doubt that in the collection of these senior saints is a wonderful roster of prayer warriors who remember to pray for their children, for their grandchildren, for their churches, for us as a college. Thank you for doing that, senior saints. And at this stage in life where your life might be limited in physical strength or capacity, can I tell you, prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God. We need lots of prayer. Don't ever underestimate the significant impact that prayer can be. But as a senior saint, Paul gives his own testimony here that he found himself regularly as he remembered Timothy. He recalls him through prayer, remembering night and day, wanting to see him, remembering his agony that Timothy has in the ministry. I don't know how this report had come to Paul, but undoubtedly Timothy was going through some challenging circumstances in the ministry. Some of it was probably even indicative of his personality. And in that context, Paul lifts Timothy up in prayer to God. And so the importance of remembering. By the way, the whole concept of remembering literally comes from our Latin word to do something back again. The word re, or the syllable re, is the component that means to have the repeating of it, the back, and the idea of again. You know, it's like you had this experience. I know Timothy, and I'm going to keep knowing Timothy, and I'm going to keep praying for Timothy as I remember him. God help us as servants of the Lord always to be faithful in this assignment of remembering prayer, recalling those that we should be praying for. But then we come to our second one, And our second reminder in verse 5 is given through these words. Paul goes on and says, when I call to remembrance. Now, this is a different word in the text of the original. It really is the idea that, it's what happens when, I took my cell phone off when I came in today. I usually do as I speak just because it's bulky and I don't like it on my hip. But the truth is this, all morning long, I've had little funny sounds coming out of this machine. It's either been a little, tone that indicates I've gotten a new email or I've gotten a new text message, or it's a little different tone that reminds me the appointment on my calendar is 10 minutes away, 5 minutes away. It's one of those little, nauseous things that just keeps you, aware. Or it's been a louder sound. It rings and I know I've got a call. Now that's the kind of reminder or remember that's in verse 5. It's the idea that you've received some notice of a responsibility. It's receiving a little message that says, I need to do this. Now, what do we have in mind with verse 5? Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. He said, I've gotten this sort of a reminder, a little bit of a signal that says, Timothy, I remember how you came to Christ. And you can go back to the book of Acts and have him describe that through his ministry. And through the course of his life, we know he had interchange with Timothy. Timothy traveled with him some of the time. And so there's this wonderful occasion of regularly reminding his heart of the salvation that Timothy had experienced. This unfeigned faith is an illustration of not only saving faith, genuinely expressed in Timothy's life, but then that living faith. And so here's the word I want you to remember. If I should remember to pray, I should also, number two, remember to practice. I need to live out that salvation which has been given to me. You see, one of the evidences of genuine conversion is our behavior after that occasion of salvation. We don't work to get saved, but we should live differently because we're saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away, all things new. And may I just say that by the grace of God, when we think of remembering, this is the remember that I want to say associates not only with the word recall in the first one of remembering, but this is now reaffirm in your remembering. Regularly reaffirming and showing the genuineness of the work of God in salvation. It's easy for us, and I'm sure if we took the time this morning to ask some of these senior saints in our midst to share how long they'd been saved, there would be those who had been saved for many, many years because of coming to Christ as a 5-year-old child. I stand here today and thank the Lord that I've been saved for over 50 years. What a great blessing to have that privilege. But it's possible. Hear me carefully. It's possible that as you've been saved for many, many years, that you've gotten used to it. We can get used to being saved and not get over the wonder and just the amazement that God redeemed us from an eternal condemnation of hell. Have you gotten used to being saved? Is it sort of a ho-hummish thing? When you have something new and exciting and frankly, a new believer, particularly one that's come to Christ as a teenager, as an adult, so that the rescue of their life from sin is far more dramatically understood in their hearts. When they come to Christ, there's something vivacious about that is just igniting and can be contagious. I've shared this testimony some in other settings, and so maybe you've heard it, but I remember during my days in seminary at Dallas, my wife and I were in a church participating in ministry. My wife was the organist there, and I was involved in some Christian education responsibilities. We wrote Sunday school literature for this church family, and it was a larger ministry. It was a wonderful privilege to serve there. This church was one that had been birthed out of some very, amazing circumstances in Mesquite, Texas. And so as we attended this service, regularly on Sunday evenings, my pastor would give opportunity to have folks share testimonies. It was just part of our normal Sunday evening service. And first couple of Sunday evenings as we were there, Folks stood up and shared testimonies of how they'd come to Christ. And I thought, well, this is nice. And after weeks of this particular observance of these testimony times, I found myself hearing the same person standing, and I could almost give their testimony before they gave it. Vern Allred would stand and he'd say, "I just thank God for saving me and rescuing me from a disastrous life of sin." And he'd sit down. And then a guy named Danny and another guy named Barney would stand. And I could just remember these guys even now in my mind as they stood and shared their testimonies. After several weeks of this, I found myself criticizing these folk in my mind, not personally. I would say, as I'd hear them share their testimony, "Can't you share something else? I heard that last week or 2 weeks ago when you stood and shared your testimony." Over the course of weeks, and as we became more familiar with this church family, and we were invited into the homes of some of these people and got better acquainted with them and began to hear their stories with greater detail, all of a sudden I knew why Vern Allred stood and every time he had a testimony would say, "I just thank God for saving me." Because he had never gotten over the fact that God had rescued him from a horrible life of sin. And he just never, ever could get over the fact that Jesus saved him. I have to tell you, in the course of those weeks and months when I moved from first introduction to these testimonies, to criticism of these testimonies, to then affirmation of these testimonies, because you know what? They never got over being saved. Now, I do believe you should move on in your walk with the Lord, and these gentlemen did that I'm referencing now. But I do believe it's important to remember the unfeigned faith. Have you ever gotten over being saved? God help us not to. And so whether you've walked with the Lord like senior saints maybe for decades of time, or whether you've just recently come to Christ even as a senior saint or as a student at Appalachian, can I tell you, we need to remember to practice that wonderful privilege of being the child of God. That's the second reminder that this senior saint gives to us. And just like every time you get a little beep on your cell phone or a little, you know, indicator on your emails, you know, whatever you have, can I tell you, use every one of those little, you know, whether it's an alarm clock in the morning or something through the course of the day that stimulates a reminder to you, use that as a reminder, am I living a practiced life of salvation? That's what this is about. Paul said, "I am remembering." I've been sort of stimulated with this little sound of memory in my mind. "Oh, Timothy, I remember your unfeigned faith and the heritage that went back to your grandmother and to your mother." Incidentally, it's from this passage that we have reason to suspicion that maybe his father never was saved, because he's not listed here among those who were a part of this roster of spiritual heritage. And so, remember to pray, recall, remember to practice, reaffirm. But now our third reminder in verse 6. "Wherefore, because of these previous reminders," Paul says, "wherefore, I put thee in remembrance." It's interesting, this is a different word yet in terms of this identity with the thought of remembering. They're all sort of the same family root. I don't mean to make them so different that they're totally out of connection in the Scriptures. But this word now has behind it the idea of something that without any assistance comes back to your mind. It's an unassisted. In contrast to the previous one where you had something that stimulated your memory, this now without any assistance externally becomes a part of your recalling, your remembrance. By the way, this is that same thought that's used when the Lord Jesus himself said in instructing us about the observance of the Lord's table, he says, "This do in remembrance of me." Do you know that's supposed to be something that we do that is not stimulated by anything else? What's the purpose of that? Well, you see, this particular reminder, this word remembrance, is what I'm going to call the importance of remembering to pursue. Remembering to pursue. You know, when you go after something, you really have an intensity about doing it. Remember to pursue. And it's the idea of recharging through your memory. First was recalling. Second was reaffirming. And now this third one is recharging what I do. It's built upon this thought here where Paul says, I want to stir up. Stir up. That literally means fan to a flame. It's what happens when you have a bed of coals on a campfire and then you want to get up in the morning and put some more wood on it. And so you put the wood on it. But you know what you have to do really to get that wood to burn often, or at least to do it more quickly, is you start either putting some air to it, either blow on it or fan it with a paper or something. And all of a sudden it ignites into a flame when it's just been coals up to that point. God has placed within every one of his children gift of responsibility. Every child of God is blessed with a gift of duty. And what he wants us to do is to take that gift that he's implanted and placed into us, that is, as it were, a glowing coal that he wants us now to fan through our efforts of work and accomplishment into a flaming effectiveness for him. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Remember, it's a recharging of our lives spiritually. I think Timothy was one that is sometimes described this way, timid Timothy. We know from the text of Scripture and different conversations that occur about him that he must have been a little bit of a timid soul. Here's one of those passages that leads us to even think that. When Timothy received this letter from Paul, his temptation would have been to say, oh, I cannot do this. And in response, Paul gives him this reassurance in verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's the disclaimer that goes with this. But then there's the proclaimer. He says, I want you to know you have power and love and a sound mind. I put it this way. We have the authority that we need. That's the power. We have the charity that we need to do it. That's the love. We have the sanity that we need to do it. We have a sound mind. And the balance of those things in the life of a believer make an effective, gifted servant of the Lord. Remember, recharge. It's possible that as a senior saint, you've sort of coasted into the stage of life and maybe even excused things that you could do for the Lord, but you've more or less said, well, at this stage of my life or whatever. Please know, I understand there's a diminishing capacity, but I hope that you'll never find yourself coasting into heaven. God doesn't want us to do that. It's possible you as students, you've been here now several weeks, and in the course of your coming, you were really charged up for God, but you've become sort of careless with your devotional life. You've become careless with your witnessing and ministry opportunities. You've become sort of careless in your thought life and in your habits of practice. And at this stage in the semester, you're just existing. Can I just challenge you? Be recharged for God. Stir up, fan to a flame the capacities of service that God's entrusted to you. And when you're a little frightened to do that, you're afraid of that Sunday school class you got to teach, or that youth group you got to work with, or that opportunity of some ministry that's afforded to you, or that witnessing opportunity in the mall that you're a little afraid to go through, can I just tell you, God's not given us the spirit of fear. He really hasn't. Fear is not of God in that sense of fear. There are things about fear that are of God, but that kind of fear is not of God. That's really of your enemy. He wants to stifle us and to shut us down with fear. But with a sense of holy confidence, you can say, I have the authority to do this. That's power. It's not a matter of some kind of an explosive power. It's the permission. It's what Jesus said when he said, all power is given unto you in heaven and earth. That's the authority. We have his. We don't need permission. We have authority to do it. And he's given us then the attitude in which to do that, with a heart of love, charity, with a sense then of capacity. He's given us minds to develop for him, a sound mind. And today I trust that you'll remember to recharge and serve with effectiveness. This idea in this passage, literally in this verse 6 usage of remembrance, literally means the awakening of the mind, literally, is the literal translation. The awakening of the mind. As students, may I just encourage you, have your minds awakened regularly through the classes that you study, through the work that you do in your research papers, through your devotional life. Have an awakened mind through the work of the Spirit of God. Today, I hope that your heart's been reminded that the combination of this age bracket that we have today, from senior saints to college-age students, this idea of remember is an important one. And while you get older and don't remember as well, can I just tell you, I'd like to stir up your minds a little bit. Remember by praying. Recall. Remember by practicing. Reaffirm. Practice that salvation, that unfeigned faith. Remember by pursuing. I'm not going to be satisfied. I'm going to continue to recharge and stir up that gift that God has given to me in serving Him. I hope today that you'll find your heart remembering. There's an old hymn that we don't sing much anymore, but it's got words that are important to capture some of these thoughts. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy love for me, lest I forget thine agony, lead me to Calvary. Can I invite you to come back to the cross today in the recesses of your heart and remember. Remember to pray. Remember to practice. Remember to pursue so that you might stand unashamed before Him at His coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this portion of Scripture from the life of a senior saint. While we know that Paul in his own description would have certainly been characterized as one who had walked with You and certainly had a testimony of faith for You, I pray that You'll help us to take his instructions and exhortation and seek to put it into practice in our lives. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to use our capacities of remembering to bring back again. Help us to remember to pray as we ought. Help us to remember, Lord, the privilege of knowing You as Savior and that unfeigned faith, that genuineness of conversion that You brought in our lives. And, oh God, help us not to ever get over being saved, but may we exercise and practice regularly the evidence of a new life in Christ. And then, Lord, we pray today that You will help us not to become casual about the investment that You've made in every one of Your children by giving them certain capacities and gifts that they can exercise. Lord, help us not to just be on this mysterious journey of trying to figure out what it is, but may we just faithfully do what we know we can do and trust You to confirm in our hearts areas where we truly can effectively exercise the capacities that You've given to us. Lord, if there are some in this room today that have become a little careless about the flame of their life, I pray that they might be fanned to a flame, stirring up the gift of God in them. May they remember that gift and exercise it with faithfulness. Recharge us, O God, we pray. Thank You, Lord, for these moments together, and pray Your continued blessing upon the retreat with our senior saints and the activities of our campus family as a whole. And then as we even move into the anticipation of the weekend of ministries, many of us, I pray that we might effectively be servants of the Lord. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.